When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet.
Hello, everyone. We're back as SDL as the second to last week before the Royal Rumble. Are you all excited? I'm certainly excited. It's going to be a good old time. Who knows what's going to happen? Well, I guess everyone can probably have a fair stab at what's going to happen in the Royal Rumble, but no one can have a fair stab at what's happening this draft season as we're getting on, we're getting into the final weeks. It's myself, Jack Graham, hosting the show. I'm joined by my co-host, David Hockney. Dave, how are we doing?
Buenos dias. Estoy muy contento de estar aquí. It's all right. We're expanding Saturday Draft Live to Mexico City. I've been brushing up on my Spanish.
Oh, lovely, lovely. I am not good with the lingo, unfortunately, but I'm glad you can reach over. Maybe you can do the full episode in Spanish, Dave.
I'll tell you what,
see how that goes.
Give me a couple of months or so to really brush up on it, and then we'll talk.
But as always, you can listen to Spotify, iTunes, Anchor, where we get your podcast, that's where we are. We're on it. We've got our website, eatsleepsuplexretweet.com, obviously, .com. Our Facebook page, we've got our community group there. We've got our Twitter page, our YouTube page. Yeah, we're all over the place, so check us out. And we are joined with a guest, no stranger to Saturday Draft Live, a guest, a co-host, a mainstay. But he's back as a guest. Guest today for this season, after winning the Listeners League last season, is none other than David Campbell. How are we doing, David?
History maker, right? The David Campbell, as always, is on top. All right, first man to win both the main draft and the Listeners League. No one else has done it that I acknowledge. No one else has done it that I acknowledge. That I acknowledge, right? I have no respect for Ryan Dalglish. All right, I just want to make that very clear. It's nothing against him. I just don't respect him as a person. So I'm back today. All right, I am here. Daddy has returned to Saturday Draft Live, and I'm ready to talk some scores. Let's go.
It's a shame that Ryan's Top Talk internet is buggering up, because I'm sure he would have a few choice words to say to that. As I guess he's both crossed over the finish line. You know what I mean? It's just this. What millisecond happened first? You know what I mean? That's what goes on. But that's by the by. Maybe he's gonna have a conversation for that another day. But we go on to the our usual top three of the week. And Dave, it's after given how SmackDown went with all the different segments and whatnot, it's no surprise to see how the top three is going. But we do have Usos number 8. They are a mainstay in the top three, and they are the number one overall pick, and they are certainly propping Ross up. They have 8 points this week, 91 points overall. Again, they've just gone to show that Ross was an absolute bang on picking them first.
Yeah, it's I mean, it was a no-brainer picking the Usos first. Ross obviously capitalizing on that juggernaut strategy that got him the first win. And yeah, the Usos have been running roughshod, not just with appearances, you know, with the Bloodline, but the fact that they're having multiple tag team title defenses over this period, that actually just boosts to their score, that plus the captaincy applied. So it seems to be all the rage with the Bloodline at the minute, just like last week where it was all Judgment Day. So it's full on faction warfare at the minute, especially, you know, when we've got just this episode and next week before the Royal Rumble. So it's crunch time for a lot of people.
And David Campbell, a question that I'll ask you right now. As Stephen Wilson sexist, who knows, because Rhea Ripley also got 8 points but isn't shown in the top three.
That's
your captain, you know, the favourite to win the Women's Royal Rumble. How are you feeling right now with that? Not shown in the top three, but did get the 8 points.
Stephen Wilson, of course, is sexist. He is a terrible human being, and I can say that without a shadow of a doubt. Rhea Ripley, you know, in my drafting strategy this year, we knew that I had to bring in the Honourable Robert fucking Shaw. I gave him my list, and the person
right.
was top of that list was Rhea Ripley. She was the one that I wanted this season. She was my number one target, and I got her. And you know, the points tell the story. 46 points, third overall for the season, Jack. And I think, depending how the Rumble goes, because we know we've got the Usos and Sami Zayn, they're on top. No, none of them are winning the Rumble, in my opinion. The Usos might drop one or both tag titles at or before the Rumble. We need to see. Rhea Ripley, I don't only think will win the Women's Royal Rumble. I think she'll have a juggernaut performance. I think she ends this season as the season's top scorer. Don't know if it'll be enough to get me up there challenging, but at this point in time, but I think Rhea Ripley has been a phenomenal pick for me this season.
I wouldn't rule out just yet, Go, because remember when I won in season 3 with Drew McIntyre, he scored 56 points alone from the Royal Rumble, where he lasted the longest, had the most eliminations, and ended up winning. And as a here's the other kicker, he didn't have the captaincy applied on him. You do have Rhea Ripley as your captain, right?
I do have Rhea Ripley as my captain. And David, you're telling me that I leave the Royal Rumble with an additional 112 points for Rhea Ripley. I would be flabbergasted, but I would also be very happy.
If that happened, you would skyrocket to the top of the table, because no amount of distance between you and the top scorer, if Rhea Ripley were to win the Rumble with all those additional caveats ticked off, you would win for certain.
We'll need to see. Hopefully that happens. Like I say, Rhea Ripley, a great scorer this season. I do think going into Rumble to Mania season, it would be wise for someone else, potentially me, I don't know, to draft Rhea Ripley in that first round again. I think she's going to be a mainstay at this point. Triple H clearly getting behind Rhea Ripley.
And well, Dave, I've got to come back to you. Someone that's been, everyone's been behind, I guess, for the past 3 years, Roman Reigns, 10 points from Stephen's captain. Going into the final week, I will say, and we can talk about this because he has confirmed it, Stephen is changing his captain.
Oh.
He's going from Roman Reigns to another Bloodline member. He's going to Solo Sikoa. So, Dave, talk about the Reigns being in the 10 points this week and the change of captain. What's your thoughts there?
I don't know. That's quite a bold move, I must say. Given that, I mean, albeit Solo Sikoa is currently fourth in the top 10 of the season with 45 points, just behind Rhea Ripley. Taking it off Roman when he's got pretty much a guaranteed title defense at the Royal Rumble, I don't know. I think he's missing out on some big points there, and there's no guarantee Solo Sikoa is going to either perform well in the Royal Rumble, let alone show up in it at all. So, I don't know. I think it's hit or miss, but assuming that Solo Sikoa is going to be in the Royal Rumble, I reckon I can see what Steven's trying to do. But if that were me, I'd have just kept it on Roman and get the much safer pay-per-view title defense points.
What's your thoughts, Campbell? A bold and very risky, I would say, captaincy change, when you can think it's near on a certainty that Reigns will beat Owens in some way. And that's a lot of captain's points to get the pay-per-view, and especially with how the table's kind of shaping up right now. Obviously, he's kind of hedging his bets on a good performance for Solo Sikoa and the Rumble, maybe a couple of nations, maybe lasting however long he can. But it's in the state of play that things are for him right now, it's very bold.
Yeah, I know it's the arse end of January, but it must be a Christmas miracle, because I think I just agreed with what David Hockney and Jack Graham said on Saturday Night Live. I also do think it's a strange decision. Look, we can talk about hindsight's 2020. If Stephen Wilson had the captaincy in Solo Sikoa from the start, Stephen Wilson would be 45 points better at this point in time. The captaincy not applied at Solo, he would jump over Rhea Ripley in that third spot for the season. Solo Sikoa has a great pick this season. That's beyond reproach. No one's saying that. But you've got to this point in time, and I think Stephen Wilson has been blinded by the Rumble. He's been blinded by, Dave, what you just talked about there, the amount of points that are on offer if you have the right person in the Rumble match. The problem is, Solo Sikoa isn't the right person in the Rumble match. Stephen's team, you look at it, Roman Reigns guaranteed that title win, like you say. The rest of them, there's not really a guaranteed standout Rumble performer in there. And this isn't a criticism of Stephen. I think he wants to win the season and he's just going for a really bold strategy. But it stinks of desperation to try and climb ahead of Ross at the top of the table there, I think.
It's very, very interesting. Very, very interesting indeed. But for a man, if we quickly take a look at Andy Mitchell's team, as I think we always do every week, Sami Zayn, Cody Rhodes, Kevin Owens, Lucha Bros, Mikel Rodriguez, Liv Morgan, Sami Zayn as his captain, as joint top with Roman Reigns at 10 points. Now, I've not had any confirmation. I don't know if he's maybe going to message Stephen sooner or not, but what I thought would happen here, that's an open question to both. I thought by this point, by the time the show would be recorded, that captaincy would be off Sami Zayn and putting Cody Rhodes.
Mm.
And as it stands, it's not happened yet.
Nope, not yet.
He's shat himself.
He might listen to the show. He might not. He might do it tomorrow. As you know, he can do it anytime before Raw. Is this a faux pas of Andy Mitchell not putting the captaincy in Cody Rhodes for that final week?
It will be. It will be if he doesn't put it on him. I listened to Andy on with Scott last week and he did acknowledge that he was going to change the captaincy, but now he's not sure because of the Rock rumours and the rumours that maybe Sammy himself might win the Rumble. He's got inside his own head, I think. And the thing is, right, I don't want Andy Mitchell to win this draft as much as the next man. But when you look at the team he's got on paper, he has that Rumble power there. Raquel, Rodriguez and Liv Morgan have been built well to do something in the Women's Royal Rumble. Sami Zayn has had an absolute juggernaut season, like you say. But you need to go with the sensible thing when you're in the draft. Everyone's saying, all the dirt sheets have been saying for months and months and months, Cody Rhodes is going to come back and win the Royal Rumble. This week we hear the news, Rock might not be coming back because he doesn't know if he can get himself in ring shape. When you're in the draft, it's not enough sometimes to just watch the television. You need to pay attention to the discourse in the wider wrestling community. I think Andy Mitchell's got in his own head. If he doesn't put the captaincy in Cody Rhodes, it could cost him the season.
What's your thoughts, Dave?
I mean, I have to agree with the go. I think when you're in the Rumble, you know, you want to try and get as much points as you can. Cody Rhodes has been heavily advertised, not just on the dirt sheets, but recently on Raw, where, you know, he's actually announced his participation ahead of time, which has gone completely against what, you know, dirt sheets are predicting. You know, they thought Cody was going to be a surprise return, surprises out the bag, because I think everybody anticipated it happening anyway. So why even set up and then have people say called it? You just know that Cody Rhodes is going to have a stellar performance in the Rumble, especially when he's advertised front and center on the graphic as well. Mm. So even still, like, he doesn't necessarily have to win. Just as long as he puts in a marathon performance and gets a few eliminations under his belt, that's still a lot of points. And there's no guarantee that Sami Zayn has been announced for the Rumble yet either. So who's to say, you know, he might just be held back against the wishes of the fans. You know, they'll have a fucking riot like they did with Daniel Bryan in 2014. And then that leads to the Universal title match between him and Roman at Elimination Chamber in Montreal, which in itself actually makes a lot of sense. So, yeah, logically, putting the captaincy on Cody Rhodes seems like the most viable option for Andy at this point.
It's an interesting one, obviously. I will say he still does have time. As of right now, I thought he would have said it earlier in the week because there's a near uncertainty. I don't know if he is caught in his own head, like Campbell was saying, but he has time. Will I do it? I guess we'll find out next week on the final SDL this season. But that's by the by. We've got to go and do our normal hang right now and talk about the state of play, the tables as it stands. And unfortunately, our man that will be getting the winning spoon this season, Gary Kernan, and the team best run 51 points. It's something that's been said, you know, on every week. On paper, such a good team. But it's just not worked for him this season. It's a shame. Things haven't gone his way. It's just not worked out. You put that in any other season, that's a team that's in the top half, potentially going to work out well business. That's unfortunately, yeah. Gary, it's not worked out this time round. It's it's a shame, but we move on. We move to David Hockney. Dave, you're your turn. You're sitting second bottom West End Country Club at 83 points.
Mm-hmm.
Grant McRobbie above you in what the Funaki in 86 points. Yourself, David Campbell, Team Go on 90 points. Well, maybe not the return you've been hoping for, but, you know, as Royal Rumble, anything can happen. Realistically, you know, could catapult your way up there. Who knows? We'll talk about your team in a bit. We'll go on. We'll talk about your team after we do our section in the Listeners League. We've got Ryan Dalglish, Party Time with Rigorous Stance on 98 points. Scott McLeod with Scissor Me Daddy Draft on 110 points. Myself, the three-time King of Drafting on 120 points. Andy Mitchell with Ryan's Wardrobe in third position, 123 points. Stephen Wilson in second with Papa Trips Love Estate Make, 125 points, which makes you question the captaincy change when he is so close to the top. It's a very bold play, but Ross McLeod, he's been the mainstay at the top. Hey Diddle Riddle, 138 points. He's got that 13-point gap. He's got that Usos title defence on Raw against Judgment Day. It looks like they don't have anything set up for the Rumble. Has Ross McLeod done enough to win this draft with the same strategy he had before of taking Big E all the way? And that's the reason why he won it. Has the Usos done enough for him to win it this season?
No. No, they haven't. Yeah.
He's already used his captaincy change as well, so even if he wanted to switch to Bron Breakker or somebody else, he couldn't do it.
He has no Rumble power. Like, Nikki might show up in the Rumble, not going to do much. Bray Wyatt going to beat LA Knight, and then it's a toss-up. Does Riddle show up in the Rumble?
It's funny because his team name's Hiddle the Riddle, and yet Matt Riddle's his lowest scorer on one point.
Yeah, and like, listen, Ross has been unlucky with the fact that Riddle and Mandy Rose have buggered off for most of the season, but the Usos have been a great juggernaut pick, don't get me wrong. But when you look at, even if Andy doesn't put the captaincy in Cody Rhodes, and we're talking about how much of a mistake that might be, I think Andy's Rumble points would probably maybe be enough to take him ahead of Ross anyway. So we'll just need to see. I don't think it's enough. Ross, I think, goes up there with one of the best people to ever draft from first, to be honest. Like, fair play to him. You know what I mean? Like, he's actually taking advantage of that. But something tells me it's not going to be enough for him.
So we'll move on, Dave. You can tell us how the week is looking down on listeners' corner and listeners' league lane. Tell us what's happening.
Oh damn it! I thought the goat would want to hijack it because he knows how much he loves the listeners' league at this point. But so fifth place we have Stuart with "It wasn't Conrad's fault" on 171 points. Well, it clearly is if he's not winning. So blame Conrad for that one. Matt Smith with "Booty Woes," former winner of the listeners' league, in fourth place, 173 points. Then we have Mike Nunn with the Sports Entertainers on 189 points, third place. We have Listeners League original Tom Brock currently on second place with World Cup winners 2022, 207. Does somebody want to tell him that Argentina won the World Cup and not Holland? So let's make that perfectly clear. But once again, top of the table this week, and he seems to be the top scorer all season long. It's Anthony Reynolds with Top Half Dreaming on 215 points. So only an 8-point gap between him and Tom at the minute. So, but, and you know, with Royal Rumble season, anything goes, everything can change on a dime. But we have three people who were joint top scorers for this week. We had Anthony Reynolds on 23. We had Stuart on 23. But also somebody who scored pretty well this week is Elliot Cantor, also on 23 points as well. So, but Anthony Reynolds' captaincy with the Usos is certainly what's keeping him afloat. Just a note on Elliot Cantor's team as well. He also has the Usos as his captain. And from a WWE perspective, he has Kevin Owens. He has Seth Rollins, sorry, Tony Storm, Alexa Bliss, Karrion Kross, and the AEW World Champion MJF. So the captaincy of the Usos is certainly proving very valuable for a lot of the Listeners League, having been selected 10 times. But Finn Balor was actually the most selected person in the Listeners League with 11 of the participants selecting him. But everybody gambling on the Usos getting big scores and the captaincy applied, that's what's keeping Anthony top of the table. But, you know, as like I said, Raw Rumble changes everything. And it all comes down to who's picked probably the winner, I reckon.
You say that, Dave, but this shows how stupid the Listeners League can be and why I managed to fucking win it in one season. Only two of them have picked Rhea Ripley. Come on, you fuck. How can two? How can only two people in that league pick Rhea Ripley? But for some reason, like six of them decided Toni Storm would be a more valuable draft pick to them.
Mm.
Get to fuck. Six of them fought Baron Corbin. Who even drafted Baron? Oh, that was me. So.
Only one person picked Cody Rhodes as well. Colin Blackburn.
God.
Which is mad. Like, has anybody not realized the Royal Rumble is this season? Then again, you have five people picking Sami Zayn, which I suppose he's like the second favorite to win, assuming he is in the match.
What can you do?
Well, it is time, as we always do. It's David the Goat Camel. You're the guest. This week. Hope you enjoy our time as usual. As we have a guest on, we talk about your team. We talk about how things are going. I'll run through how your team's looking right now. Rhea Ripley, your captain, at 46 points. Seth Rollins in 20 points. AJ Styles in 13 points. The Viking Raiders in 2 points. Shayna Baszler in 5 points. And Baron Corbin in 4 points.
Mm.
Obviously, things haven't worked out in some respect with your team. AJ Styles, like breaking his ankle or whatever. The Viking Raiders, after having a very hot return, has been very lukewarm in the rest of the season. Shayna Baszler's not really done much. Baron Corbin hasn't been around for a while, but you've had two very good performers. Seth Rollins, even though he's lost every US title match he's had in this season, he's still on 20 points. And obviously Rhea Ripley, your captain, Rumble favourite, 46 points. Tell us your thoughts on how you think your team's doing, how you think it could be in coming up to the Rumble.
Yeah, I think you can't preempt too much before Rumble night. The story of the Rumble season is written after the last person is thrown over the top rope. So I'm hedging my bets a wee bit here. Undeniably, I'm disappointed by how the lower part of my team's performing. We've talked about Rhea Ripley till we're blue in the face. Not only should she be a good Rumble performer, she's got a lot of appearances coming out with all of the rest of the Judgment Day and picking up a couple of wins on her own as well. Seth Rollins, I think, has just been a cornerstone of Monday Night Raw, but if we talk about the Royal Rumble, I think Seth Rollins will also have a good show in there. I could maybe see a situation where Seth Rollins is the Iron Man of the Men's Royal Rumble, and then wrestling has more than one Royal Family hits, and fucking he gets tossed over the top rope by a returning Cody Rhodes, potentially. But so I'm not anticipating Seth Rollins winning the Royal Rumble at all, but I could see maybe an Iron Man showing. Styles was a big blow because I think the Styles Judgment Day feud was getting him on TV every week, getting him the occasional win, and it would have undeniably bolstered my team probably by around another 6 points we've got to be looking at potentially. But the three at the bottom there are the biggest disappointments for me. And I do think it comes down to maybe a weakness of Triple H's booking sometimes, that some people at the lower bit of the card sometimes are off TV for maybe 2-3 weeks at a time. Viking Raiders, like you said, Jack, really hot return, and then last night in SmackDown they're losing to a non-tag team in a tag team title tournament in Drew McIntyre and Sheamus. I think that's something that we would have criticised Vince McMahon over. So I'm fucking fuming myself because they're obviously on my team, and it just makes the sort of tag team division, I think, look weak when single guys can come in and beat established, meant to be dominant tag teams. Baszler has been a victim, I think, of such a close association with Ronda, and then Ronda shockingly lost the title. She has been announced for the Rumble match, has had really good performances in the Rumble in the past, a lot of eliminations, so I'm hoping the Submission Magician can maybe save her season somewhat inside the Rumble match. But the big disappointment for me is Baron Corbin. The partnership with JBL was teased on TV. He came out and it looked as if he was going to go on a tear. Why I drafted them, a tier of like the lower tier of Monday Night Raw, like the lower card, Akira Tozawa, people like that, and just start building them up again. But it just never happened. He feuded with Tozawa, then JBL hosted a poker match, and then suddenly he's losing in a United States Championship number one contender situation. It baffles me how Corbin has just been completely forgotten about with all that sort of hype for this partnership with JBL. So overall, there is a lot of disappointment in my team. But like I say, the story will be written on Rumble night, and hopefully Rhea Ripley with a supporting role from Seth Rollins can be enough to maybe see me challenging somewhere up the top half of the table.
So Dave, he's spoke about how he thinks he can maybe challenge for the top spot, but I can obviously at this point we spoke with the kind of bottom half, but you can see Shayna Baszler getting a couple of eliminations, could go a tear in some respects in the Rumble just because of the pedigree her name brings, so to speak. Baron Corbin, you always expect Baron Corbin to get a couple of eliminations. Do you think, as you see it right now, does David Campbell stand a chance of challenging for that top spot?
I think he does. You know, we know, as we mentioned earlier, you know, if Rhea Ripley is going to be putting in the juggernaut performance of the Rumble, you know, it certainly puts her into contention, especially with the captaincy applied. And don't take anything away from Shayna Baszler or Baron Corbin either. I mean, up to this point, you know, they haven't been great picks, but when Rumble season comes around, they can sometimes surprise you. Given that, you know, Shayna Baszler holds the record for most eliminations in a single Rumble joint with Bianca, and Baron Corbin, albeit I think he was a fifth round pick in last year's Rumble season, he ended up resulting in a win. Like, just because he had like a few eliminations under his name to boost the points up. So, yeah, definitely. Shane and Corbin, historically, are actually quite reliable Rumble performers. The only hiccup I've seen on your team go is the fizzled out return of the Viking Raiders. I mean, it looks good on paper, but, you know, it just hasn't materialized into anything, unfortunately. Even with the return of Valhalla, Sarah Logan. AJ Styles out with injury as well. Can't really do much about that. But all in all, you know, table standing at the minute doesn't look great. But come Rumble season, there's still a very good chance that you could finish, you know, very high up the table. Maybe even win.
We'll see. Stranger things have happened. Look, I think if Andy Mitchell is smart and he puts the captaincy in Cody Rhodes, it's Andy's season at that point. As much as it pains me physically to say that, I think Andy Mitchell would have it in the bag. But we'll need to see. Andy Mitchell might not put the captaincy in Cody Rhodes. Sami Zayn might keep the captaincy, but not do much, like you say, Dave. So maybe there is a situation where it happens, but I don't know. We'll just need to see how it all plays out.
I think as when it all go down to the final night, I think Ross will make as big a lead as he can, but I do think it will fall short. I do think Andy needs to make the captaincy switch if he wants to stand a chance of winning. Whether he does it, who knows? Steven obviously switching to Sokoa, that's pretty bold, but you expect Reigns to get the win, you expect Solo to do all right in the Rumble, you expect Lynch to maybe get a few eliminations in the Rumble as well, probably not win it, but probably be chucked out by Rhea Ripley at some point. And then you've got myself, who'll have Theory, Escobar, and potentially Balor in the Rumble match. Theory defend his title on Raw. There's a lot of things that can happen in this last week that can completely change. And it is still, even with the points and the totals, we see how it is, there's still gas between folk. Yeah. Generally down to where David Campbell is, anybody's got a chance here.
Yeah, totally. Even Ryan DeGleish, look, you look at the Rumble sort of night, he's maybe got all of his team in contention to be in action that night. Ronda could show up in the Rumble. Bayley could, you know, have a good showing in the Rumble. Toxic Attraction wouldn't be surprised because the Women's Rumble is dearth of talent. They could maybe make an appearance. Dominic Mysterio again, Charlotte Flair, probably a defence against Sonya Deville, I'd be thinking. And then Karrion Kross as well, someone who's fizzled out. I don't think that's a bad draft pick, but he could get a couple of re-eliminations before being tossed over by Rey Mysterio. Like you say, Rumble night is the great equaliser. And there's a lot of people at the top of the table, I think, sitting on their laurels, thinking, I've done enough here, I can sit back. Ross McLeod, not pointing the elbows, but, you know, they like, think, oh, this is my season to lose now. But not at all, like you say, Jack, it's very much open and it'll be interesting. I'll be sitting there and Cassidel Wilson, you know, making sure, not a dig, Dave, that the points are done correctly. And I will absolutely... be shaking in anticipation, hoping that my picks do well.
Stephen will be sitting there with his notepad. You'll be sitting there with your notepad.
I saw Shayna Baszler's elbow walk by that shot.
I will end it, right? We do have the tag team season next season. Obviously, David, if you win this season, you get you return. Now, I don't know, maybe some powers that be, Stephen, may allow you to come back. Who knows?
No, he's told me I can. Yeah.
All right, okay, cool. Welcome to tag season.
Jack, you don't say to Tiger Woods you can't play the Masters. You know what I mean? Like, come on, you fuck.
Right, so you're in next season.
You'll be eager for a Goat Toads reunion.
A Goat Toads reunion could be in the cards with the powers that be, who knows? But if you couldn't get Ryan Gallagher, if that didn't happen,
yeah,
and it was down to the wheel when you're putting a new tag team,
yeah,
who would you want to be your tag team partner?
Literally, I would I'd be happy with most people. I think that it would be interesting to team with the Listeners League person coming up, whoever that may be, just because of my history with the Listeners League. It could help mould the next generation of talent. And if I don't become the first person to come up and win the Listeners League this season, to be part of that history next season, another shot of the apple would be quite fun. I also think that I would like someone who stays out of my way. So Ross never shows up in draft night. So it would be so maybe a Roscoe reunion with Ross is on the cards. And listen, I'm putting it out there right now. If the great Stacey Smith chooses to return for the tag season, that would be my number one pick. I think a Goat and Stacey connection to win the draft, that's a fairy tale story that I think the fans want to see. So you know what, Stacey Smith is the person I'm going to put as a number one wish.
Total Goat.
As soon as I asked that question, I realised you were into who do you can have the greatest influence over in the tag team season making your picks.
I don't like the collaboration. Like, you look at some of these picks, man. Like Scott, God bless him, right? But you get down to me, I am, and I'm just like, oh, for fuck's sake. Like, it wouldn't be me. Grant, I'd be fighting, like, fucking, I don't want to draft some dark elevation jobber. You know, it's my sixth round pick. You know what I mean? I don't want to have these conversations with folk, you know? So, listen, that you are right, Jack. And maybe it is the control freak in me. But yes, 100%.
Dave, what about yourself? Because I'm not going to be on next week, so I'm not going to have the chance to ask or to find out. Who do you want as your tag partner for next season?
I'll tell you what, I wouldn't mind a Men on a Mission 2.0 reunion with Gary Kernahan, seeing as we won the last tag season. If Robert Shaw ends up winning the Listeners League by some miracle, you know, the tag team of Robert fucking Shaw, I mean, that's a win right there. I don't know, actually. Ideally, I want to be drafted with a previous winner. So, I mean, that way, at least, you know, statistically, we've got a chance of winning again. But, you know me, I've done well with a Listeners League winner before, so I wouldn't mind teaming with the Listeners League winner again.
There you go. Very, very, very interesting stuff. Who would I want to be with? Obviously, I want to be with Ryan. You know, the Air Boys on top. All that jazz. That'd make a good story. A former Listeners League winner himself, and a main league winner. It'd be quite a thing. He just needs to win the tag season, and he's done the trifecta. And I need to win the tag season as well. Obviously, I've won it three times myself. I need to win it with someone else's. Something needs to change for myself there. But yeah, I think that's what I'd want. I'd want Ryan. But
you've not done too well at the tag seasons, Jack. Maybe you don't play well with others. Maybe, you know, yeah, you're putting it on me. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's you who can't work on it.
Well, here, all I know is that something's got to be wrong if I'm winning it myself, but I can't win it with other people. So it's got to be other people, right? But right, that's all we've got time for in this episode of SDL. I hope you've all enjoyed it. Campbell, thank you very much for coming on. Hope you've enjoyed it as well. And good luck for the final week. Hope it comes in your favour.
I do need it. I might go back to bed. I'm quite tired this morning. You know, we'll see.
Hockney, thank you for being on as well.
Muchas gracias, amigos. Nos vemos la próxima semana para el Royal Rumble.
Yep, right. See you later on.
Hi, I'm Scott McLeod.
And I'm Grant McRobbie.
We are the hosts of the monthly show on Eat Sleep Suplex, Retreat East Meets West,
where we'll bring you all the latest happenings, reviews and big events from New Japan and the land of the Far East.
You can remember to check that out on the Eat Sleep Suplex, Retreat podcast feed on all good Android podcasting sites like Anchor, Spotify or iTunes now.
Sports Social Podcast Network.